At Pluralsight, we don't just teach skills. We are building the tech workforce who deliver results fast, accelerated by top-tier content. Lead with confidence. Lead with expertise. Visit us at Pluralsight.com to tap in and learn more.
This is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
Malcolm Hohnlein, Conference of Presidents, Major American Jewish Organizations, joins me. And we're headed right to the coast of Lebanon and Israel and a dispute, so-called, between the participants in what looks to be a bounty of fossil fuel, natural gas, and oil, and what is to be done. We welcome David Shanker of the Washington Institute, director of the program on Arab politics. David, a very good evening to you. Mr. Nasrallah, the general secretary, leader of Hezbollah, a terrorist organization, has made what appears to be threat after threat, and now he's reached the ultimate threat of a negotiator. He said that this is the red line right here, and if I don't get what I want, then, David, Nasrallah's use of red line. What is your understanding of this negotiation? Because I hear there's a line somewhere to be drawn, but it's not red. Good evening to you, David.
Good evening, John. Good evening to you, Malcolm. Listen, Nasrallah has laid down the gauntlet. He said if the Israelis start extracting natural gas from their rig in Karish Field, which is in the Mediterranean and undisputed Israeli territorial waters, that without getting a deal on the maritime border, then they will attack the rig. And so the Israelis have not started extracting gas from this rig. They said they would do so in the beginning of September. That time has passed, and it looks like the Israelis are going to wait until they get a deal to do so, not wanting to get into another round of fighting with Hezbollah.
One more detail. What is the Haf line? Not the red line, the Haf line, David.
Well, years ago, both the Israelis and the Lebanese filed territorial claims for their exclusive economic zones with the UN. The Israelis filed a line. Then basically, there are two lines. So there's an Israeli line, which is what they call line number one, and the Lebanese line, which is what they call line 23. It looks like basically a piece of pie that emanates from the Kora, which is the border between Israel and southern Lebanon. And so years ago during the Obama administration, a guy named Fred Hoff, who's a great guy, went into negotiations and found a line somewhere in between, about 55% of that disputed territory between 1 and 23 would go to Lebanon, and 45% would go to Israel. That was never signed off on. And so when I was in the Trump administration, I reopened negotiations between Israel and Lebanon to try and get a recognized international maritime border so both sides could exploit the energy without fear of war.
Malcolm?
What is the likely division now that you see? I know this is very hard for people to envisage unless they understand the map, but essentially it's the waters between Lebanon and Israel. I know it started off with you side claiming the whole thing, then they divide. What do you think the percentage breakdown is likely to be now?
Well, what we're hearing, when we started the negotiations, once again, lines 1 and 23, and then the day after we started, the Lebanese actually expanded their claim to include what they call line 29, even further south into what Israel considers its own territorial waters. A year on, or 2 years on, it looks like they're close to a deal that would actually, Israel would cede 100% of the claim of Lebanon, which means they would agree to line 23. More than that, there is a gas field called Qana that goes, north of line 23 and then south of line 23. And what would eventually be, if they sign this agreement, Israeli territorial waters. And Israel has agreed, apparently, to allow Lebanon or an international oil company, perhaps Exxon, to exploit that field and then to grant some of the proceeds back to Israel from the gas that is underneath what would be Israeli territorial waters.
David, for some time I've been led to understand that Lebanon is a failed state and that the government is not transparent and that what we're looking at here is dealing with various warlords. So is this field to be in the hands of warlords? Is there to be any transparency in the prosperity?
Well, that's a great question. And I think that is the one of the biggest hits or critiques of this deal. Lebanon ranks, according to Transparency International, among the most corrupt countries in the world. And right now, you know, this is a failing state, 85% of people below the poverty line. I think their annual budget for this year is $1 billion. A year ago, it's $22 billion. People can't get their deposits out of the bank, et cetera. All the money has disappeared from this country, their bank secrecy laws, et cetera. They have not done the types of reforms to make the banking system transparent, the central bank bottom line transparent, and they can't get an IMF program because of that to fix their economy. Well, all the revenues from the contracts with Total and all these other international oil companies, Rosneft, Russian company, any contract that they let, right now there's no such thing as a sovereign wealth fund in Lebanon. And so one of the things that this administration should be doing, which I don't think they are, is to force Lebanon to establish one of these sovereign wealth funds, where all the revenues would go in and be transparent. But without that, a lot of this money can be siphoned off to Hezbollah, to the president's son-in-law, who was designated during the Trump administration for corruption. And not only the revenues, but all these other crazy kind of shady contracts, which is Total might grant a service contract to a Chinese or a Southeast Asian company that is really a shell company for the president's son-in-law in Lebanon, and get all kinds of corrupt money from that. So this is really going to be a problem going forward, and really regrettable for the Lebanese people who are suffering so much.
So what are the domestic then consequences? Are we now empowering Hezbollah to consolidate its hold at a time when there were people who felt that the weakening economic conditions, the terrible economic conditions, the explosion, the failure to act, a lot of domestic considerations? Are we now, in fact, seeing the consolidation of Hezbollah's hold with the additional income that's going to be coming from this in a year, 2 years, 3 years down the road? It seems to be counterintuitive.
Yeah, no doubt Hezbollah will benefit, maybe not the kind of dollars that they would benefit from if the Biden administration signed the nuclear deal with Iran, and then Iran had so much cash to start providing all its militias with money again. But they will benefit. The question is how we make sure the Lebanese people benefit. But yeah, this can turn out pretty badly. I don't think they're going to siphon off huge amounts from all these contracts, but they will no doubt benefit. And but the bottom line is Hezbollah will be seen or try and portray this agreement as yet another, quote unquote, divine victory, where because Hezbollah threatened Israel, because they forced the government to take this very hardline position, that they will be seen as having contributed to this great deal Lebanon's about to get. And so they'll emerge from this strengthened, their morale will be improved, and their image in Lebanon will regrettably likely be improved as well.
David, we have less than a minute. Is this a story of follow the money? That's the way we'll learn how the field is to be maintained or abused. Follow the money.
Absolutely. Whatever administration is in power in Washington, Department of Treasury, CIA, they should be looking at where all these revenues go, who's benefiting. And we should be designating people, organizations, and companies that facilitate this corruption in Lebanon. This is 4.5 million people that are suffering greatly because of the corrupt political elite led by Hezbollah. And we shouldn't be part of something that is going to contribute further to that suffering and the strengthening of an Iran-backed terrorist organization.
David Shanker is the Taub Senior Fellow at the Washington Institute, Director of the Program on Arab Politics, Malcolm Honlein, Conference of Presidents, Major American Jewish Organizations. I'm John Batch.
Hey, guys. Finding the perfect gift for the food lover in your life is easy, thanks to Gold Belly. Gold Belly ships America's most iconic foods straight from world-famous restaurants right to your door. So if you want to treat someone to Joe's Stone Crab from Miami, Franklin Barbecue from Texas, or desserts from famous foodies like Ina Garten or Martha Stewart, Gold Belly has you covered with free shipping anywhere in the country. Just go to goldbelly.com and for a limited time, get 20% off your first order with promo code GIFT. That's promo code GIFT.